Become our friend on Facebook. Post on our wall your thoughts about our shows and network. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
Welcome to Cool Kids Cook with Kid Chef Eliana. Get ready to explore the foodie world with one of the youngest published cookbook authors. We'll share tips, techniques, recipes, and speak to some of the world's top chefs. Now, here is your host, Chef Eliana.
Welcome to the program, Cool Kids Cook, on the Voice America Kids Network. I'm Kid Chef Eliana, a cookbook author, foodie, and your show host. This is a special Taste of the NFL Super Bowl show. The NFL Super Bowl is being held in my hometown of New Orleans on Sunday, February 3rd, 2013. Today's Taste of the NFL Super Bowl show is all about an issue that is very important, hunger. According to stats from the U.S. Census Bureau in 2011, 46.2 million Americans lived in poverty and 50.1 million Americans lived in food insecure houses. That translates to a big epidemic of hunger. But you can help. Even if you're not in New Orleans for the Taste of the NFL event, you can still donate to the cause. We also have some fun football foods planned, so grab your gear and get ready for the big game. Now, it's time for a special interview with Mr. Wayne Kostrowski, the 2010 James Beard Humanitarian of the Year and founder of the Taste of the NFL, a nonprofit organization that raises awareness and dollars for hunger relief. Now entering its 22nd year, the Taste of the NFL has distributed millions of dollars to local and national food banks across America. On the eve of Super Bowl Sunday, 32 of the nation's best chefs, one from each NFL city, and a current or alumni player from each NFL team come together for a night of food, fun, and football. All event proceeds support local and national hunger organizations. Mr. Kostrowski, thank you so much for being a guest in Cool Kids Cook.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here, and it's really exciting to be back in New Orleans with Taste of the NFL. It's our third time, and it's going to be the best ever.
Oh, I hope so. Now, I love that you've partnered with the NFL to kick hunger in America. Why is this issue so important to you?
Well, you know, it's become very important to me. It's become my passion in life. I'm in the restaurant business up in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and been in it a long time. But somewhere along the line, I had the blessing, if you will, of witnessing some local hunger and food shelves right in my own neighborhood when I was working on a project. And it struck me that the industry that I'm in, the food business, we should be able to do something about hunger in America. And I knew a lot of chefs around the country, and just over the last many number of years, we try to do something. So it's grown into from an interest and a concern into a passion, and I think that's where many people find their causes that they want to support in life, and I encourage everybody to keep their eyes and ears open to find their own.
Right. And, you know, for Katrina, my family and I, we all had to move to Houston. And, you know, it was the first time we were living off of food stamps and going to the food bank, you know, because, you know, I mean, we didn't have a lot of stuff. You know, we had to leave our home and go to a whole different place.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Well, you
so,
know, and the thing, that's a great, great point, Eliana, because, you know, people moved out of this area. First of all, the food banks were already strapped since 2008 with the, the recession and across the country, but the people moving out of this area when something like that disaster hits, they've been served by the Greater New Orleans Food Bank here locally, and then you've got a disaster hit where you need even more supplies to keep people fed. And then even using Houston as an example, the Houston Food Bank is a food bank that we contribute to, all 32 we contribute to. But when lots of people come in from another area, that puts, you know, extra stress and on the supplies and resources of the Houston Food Bank and others as well. So besides the day-to-day situation of the statistics that you pointed out, which were, you know, spot on and certainly accurate and concerning, when extra disasters happen, whether it be, you know, Katrina or Hurricane Sandy or anything else, food banks are, you know, stretched even more. So it's important for us to be aware in our own neighborhoods, in our own communities, what we could do to support food banks and food shelves so that our neighbors, our families are properly fed.
Right. That's totally right. Now, so when and how did the idea for a party with a purpose come about? You know, where you're sitting around with pens at the table, you know, drawing ideas on napkins?
Well, you know, as I mentioned, I'm in the restaurant business, and I live in a significantly colder climate than you have here in wonderful New Orleans. And so every time Super Bowl comes around, we're normally watching it on TV from the confines of a nice warm living room around a fire. And Super Bowls normally go to warm weather climates. But in 1992, Minnesota hosted the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 26, and I was on the host committee, and I was president of the Minnesota Restaurant Association. And I had this idea, since we're all going to be inside more than outside, what new thing could we come up with that we could maybe do some good as well? So we call it the Party with a Purpose, because that's the only reason it was created. The purpose is to raise awareness and dollars for hunger. So the idea was, let's do something special in Minnesota for that year. Let's hopefully it catches on, and maybe it'll stick around for a while. Maybe it could be repeated the next year in L.A., and so I called my friends across the country who were chefs that I knew were also into hunger relief, and I had a couple players from the Vikings that I knew call around to their friends, and we created this event where a top chef from every NFL city pairs up with a player from each city the night before, and we throw a party, and everyone volunteers, the players, the chefs, myself. Nobody is compensated for this. It's a labor of love, and 100% of the proceeds that we end up with every year gets distributed to the 32 food banks across the country. So it was a kind of a neat idea within the industry in which I, you know, make a living. But there are so many wonderful people out there. Once you present them with a good idea, everyone hops on and wants to help, and that's how good things happen.
It's good, you know, food does bring people together. And this is a huge event with 2,000 to 3,000 people in attendance. How are the events proceeds distributed? Do each of the NFL cities' food banks benefit?
That's a great question, and I'm glad your listeners will be able to get that answer, because it's a very critical part of what we do. This event is the only NFL event, not the Super Bowl, only NFL event that has national visibility and takes place, you know, in one big, big party that also has a presence in all 31 other NFL cities, you know, with the Super Bowl coming around. And that's exactly how we distribute our funds. We take the dollars that we raised. We take the biggest percentage and distribute that to the food bank in the city where the Super Bowl is taking place. In this case, it will be the Second Harvester Food Bank of New Orleans. And then we split the other, the rest of it, 31 ways. So for 22 years, all 32 food banks have been receiving a piece of the proceeds from this event. And that has meant hundreds of thousands of dollars to food banks across the country that now can feel part of the excitement of Super Bowl, and also feel that, you know, something that's happening very far away is still going to benefit families in their own communities.
So that's wonderful. And so all the chefs and players donate their talents and presence for this event?
Yes, they do. And here's a fun fact, is that, you know, obviously the players come. And people around Super Bowl, we get a lot of Hall of Fame players and current players, and anybody that's got a heart for and a passion for hunger likes to help out. And so the players volunteer their time, and their job that night is to stand there and talk to the guests and take time to have pictures and autographs. The chefs are the ones that really have the little larger challenge that night. They prepare up to 1,600 portions of their items, their favorite items. And so, you know, for example, in Baltimore, the chef this year is preparing a crab dish, because Baltimore is known for Maryland crab cakes. And so, but each of those chefs prepares up to 1,600 portions. And if you can imagine that, my kitchen's not that big. But we, in order to do that, Ileana, and you'll like this being a chef, we always involve the culinary schools in the city. And here in New Orleans, we've got, you know, John Falsey's culinary school and a couple others as well that are involved. We get the students to help out and prep with their chefs. It benefits both the students because they're meeting their heroes and getting some ideas and, you know, helping to understand, you know, how to work a large event, but it also benefits the chefs because they're bonding with younger folks who want to be in the industry. And many, many times after 22 years, friendships and relationships have continued just because a student has volunteered to work with Tasty NFL chefs. So there are lots of benefits to this. It's not just the dollar side of it, but it's really the chefs that do a lot of work, prepare a lot of portions, and everyone benefits. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's a fabulous thing. And not only the communities are served, the families in need, but a lot of great friendships are formed. And, you know, and a lot of the chefs, culinary students, I should say, volunteer and come the next day on their own, the next year on their own time, and drive to the next city and want to work with the chefs again. So it's a quite a far reaching community or volunteer effort that I think is unique.
And that, you know, they have great mentoring, and that's great that the students get to work with the chefs, and they have the players there, and that they can, you know, talk to people, and that's wonderful.
Well, you know, and you can relate to that. You know, you've met and you've worked with and interviewed a lot of great chefs, and I know that's a, you know, thrill for you. It's a thrill for anybody, but this is, you know, this extends it out for even more, you know, young people that are interested in the culinary world to realize that since there's some really wonderful people in the hospitality industry, and you get a chance to meet them and, you know, work with them and learn some of their techniques and move on to, you know, continue your career.
It is. It's the end of the first quarter, and now we're off to a quick break. I'm Kid Chef Eliana, and you're listening to Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids.
Kids safe, mother approved. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network wherever you go. In addition to listening live, you can check out information about your favorite talk show hosts, discover new talk show personalities, add shows to your list of favorites, and listen to all our show archives on demand. All from your iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market, and get ready to tune in. The Voice America mobile app, powered by Aircast.
Looking for a great sports show from a kid's point of view? Look no further than Speaking of Sports. We've got the stats, scores, and inside news on what's happening all over the sports world. It's all hard-hitting, can't-miss action from your point of view. You'll hear different perspectives, opinions, and predictions from the fans and experts. Tune into Speaking of Sports every Friday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel. Miss just 1 minute of this show and you've missed out.
You're listening to Voice America Kids, now with 33% more active ingredients and no artificial coloring.
This is Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids. Be sure to check out Eliana's webpage at kidchefeliana.com or follow her Facebook and Twitter pages by clicking the links on her show page. Now, back to Cool Kids Cook.
Welcome back to Cool Kids Cook from Voice America Kids. I'm Kid Chef Eliana. Let's continue our interview with Mr. Kostrowski, the founder of the Taste in the NFL. You also have a huge staff of volunteers. How can people who are not in New Orleans for the Super Bowl this week help?
Well, the volunteers, obviously, in, you know, where the Super Bowl is in New Orleans, we get a lot of volunteers from different walks of life with businesses that want to work on this kind of event and volunteer their time. So physically, you know, we get a couple hundred volunteers helping us to coordinate this and, you know, dice and chop and, you know, get things together for the, with the chefs as well. But, anybody, one of the other things that we started this year was called the Kick Hunger Challenge. And that literally is something, you go to the website, tastethenfl.com. And if you're a Saints fan, for example, through this Saturday, you can go to under the Saints helmet of the Kick Hunger Challenge and donate any dollar amount in the name of the Saints helmet. And each of the 32 teams are represented there. And if you donate $10, even every little bit goes a long way. If you donate $10 under the Saints helmet, that $10 goes into the bucket, if you will, and it's added up. And there are standings on there, so it's competitive. And 100% of those dollars that are sitting there at the end of the campaign, at the end of this week, that will go directly, 100% will go directly to the New Orleans Food Bank. And now, something else people should realize is that for every dollar, Food Bank can provide 8 meals. So if you donate just $10, that's 80 more meals that the Second Harvest New Orleans Food Bank can provide to families in this community. And so also you take a look at that and you'll see the standings. And right now, Saints fans, just so that you know, the Saints are in seventh place and the Atlanta Falcons are in first place. And I know how much the New Orleans fans love the Atlanta Falcons. So you might want to go there and, you know, donate. And that's how you can be part of Tasty NFL and you can be part of the solution to hunger right here in New Orleans.
Yeah, we love them. But, I mean, that's great that you can, you know, just donate a little bit of money feeds lots of people. Now, I know that Andrew Zimmern is going to host the event, and he's actually going to be on my interviewing him on my radio show in March, so I can't wait. Who are some of the chefs and players featured at this year's Taste of the NFL?
Well, when you talk to Andrew, be sure to say hello from me. Andrew and I have been friends ever since he moved to Minneapolis and opened a restaurant over 25 years ago.
Wow.
He is a dear friend. He's a great guy. He has a huge heart. He is always volunteering to help on any number of community areas. But in hunger, he and I have bonded on that. And this year, we're fortunate enough to have him serve as our culinary host for the evening. So he'll be meeting with a lot of people and getting pictures and chatting, and he's just a wonderful guy. So when you talk to him, make sure you let him know that, you know, we had talked and I say hello. The room is full of just obviously great food and great chefs. Sticking with New Orleans, Torrey McPhail is again representing the New Orleans Saints station with his food, and then Morton Anderson is paired up with him. So that's an example of, you know, a chef and a player. But we've also got, you know, Nancy Longo, I mentioned, is from Baltimore, and she always comes out with a great crab crab dish. And the player was going to be the current center for the Baltimore Ravens, Matt Burke. But Matt is obviously a little busy the day before the Super Bowl game, so Qadri Ismail, a former receiver for them, is going to be there. So in the room, you'll have Hall of Famers like Paul Warfield and Jack Youngblood and Bobby Bell from the Chiefs, and these guys from legendary from the past, but there will be also other current players as well. And the chefs, what's really cool, Eliana, is that the chefs choose to do a dish that is representative, if you will, for the most part, of their part of the country. So it's really cool to have, you know, Chef John Howie from Seattle come out with another great, you know, one year he did a salmon plank, and he did some other stuff that's representative of the great Northwest, and et cetera. So these chefs are not only putting out a great dish, but they're putting it out representing their part of the country. So there is no other place on the planet ever where you can go and enjoy over 35 different great restaurant dishes in one night than Taste NFL. It simply does not exist. And then you just happen to be, if you're a foodie, you're in heaven. If you're a sports football person, you're in another heaven. And if you love great wine, Ian J. Gallo brings out their premium wines and matches a little taste to every single dish in the room. So it's
wow.
Really the... It's the biggest and best restaurant you'll ever go out to, and once you're in, you're in. You can enjoy everything if you made it. I don't know of one person who has made it going through every single station, and if they are, we'll give them a subscription to Jenny Craig or something because they're going to need it. But it's a wonderful experience, and it's the best food in the world. And everybody, the big difference is many charity events, You wonder what's going on or why celebrities are there or whatever. This one, every single person in the room knows why they're there, because they've chosen to be there on their own time and their own donation, and they want to fight and kick hunger in America.
And that's wonderful, and I can't wait to go to the event on Saturday. Now,
are you going to be giving some cooking tips to some of the chefs? I would hope you would.
I don't know that. They're really good chefs.
Well, you look for an opening here or there, because I know you're not shy. You should probably just take a look and see if you got a suggestion on a dish or two. They'll welcome you.
So, as a restaurateur, I know you're a big foodie. So, have you eaten any good food since you've been in New Orleans? I hope the answer is yes.
Any good food in New Orleans? That's all I eat in New Orleans is great food. some of my best friends in the world are chefs. You know, Susan Spicer was the founding chef with Taste of the NFL and stayed with us for many years. Donald Link has, Herb Stain has represented New Orleans a number of years. John Besh is a dear friend of mine. I love his restaurant.
He's a good friend of mine, too.
This town is, I think is most wonderful about this town from the standpoint of food is that it has tradition. It has the great, you know, Galatoires and Arnos, and it's got these restaurants that have been around for a really long time. Right. And those remain, classics and tradition. But you constantly keep coming up with, new restaurants that are innovative and fun and simply delicious. And so I think it's one of those towns that keeps the tradition of the style of food in New Orleans in place, but at the same time is always looking for innovation. And that's why I think this town is unique to anyone in the country. And that's why I think Taste of the NFL is such a great fit to be in this town. And because everybody here appreciates the food. We get a lot of national people, you know, buying the tables and the tickets, but the locals, get an extra treat because they're used to great food and their standards are higher than most and they're never disappointed.
And, you know, where have you gone so far?
Well, I've had dinner at the Commander's, of course, a couple of times. I've been to Cafe Adelaide. I've been to Herb Saint. I've been to Mila. Thank God this is a radio show. I don't think I'm severely overweight or trying to move around, you know, slowly, but I'm in pretty good shape. But what I like about those restaurants is, you know, the dishes are, I'm not a big fan of over-portioning. I don't think more food is better. I like simplicity, and I like a great fish dish with the, you know, that's prepared correctly. I like the right amount of, you know, accompaniments to it. And those restaurants I mentioned, I like, you know, the most. I love the Palace Cafe, too. I think they've got, you know, great food as well. So great food does not necessarily come, you know, you don't have to have a white tablecloth to have great food, and you also don't have to pile it on your plate the way some of the restaurants across the country that, you know, quite frankly bother me because they put too much food out. It should be good food, simply prepared and enjoyed.
Right, quality food.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, now, lastly, here's our wacky off-the-wall food question. I ask all of my show guests, what kind of dish would you create with pickles and peanut butter?
Gosh, I'd have to consult my Elvis Presley cookbook. No, I don't have one, and no, I wouldn't. I may be the first person on your show ever to say, I haven't a clue. I don't know what I'd do with that. I'm stumped. So consider me stumped.
Let me give you some ideas. Some people have made wraps. Some have made sandwiches. Mine would probably be a chicken satay, you know, with the peanut sauce and, like, a pickle relish. You know, you kind of have, like, a sweet peanut butter and, like, tangy pickles.
Okay, well, so Saturday night, you bring me a little, you know, doggy bag taste of that. Bring it along and I'll try it.
I'll see.
Sounds delicious. Well, see, you're significantly more creative than I am, and I'm not a chef by trade, but I am so in awe of chefs, you know, whether they're longtime established chefs or I am so impressed with what you're doing. I think you are exactly the kind of person that continues to open opportunities and the light on the hospitality industry, and certainly in the culinary world by, you know, trying different things and being so interested in food at the age that you are. And my hat's off to you. And it's just really a pleasure to talk with you and to be aware of your work. And I'm looking forward to seeing you and your smiling face and your Pink Chef, right? Pink Chef has coming out on Saturday night. I think I'll find you.
I think you'll find me too. I think it might stand out. Well, thank you so much, Mr. Koshofsky, for being a guest on Cool Kids Cook.
Well, thank you very much, and I'll see you on Saturday.
I will. You've shown us that we can all make a difference by tackling and kicking hunger. If you want to find out more about Mr. Kostrowski and Taste of the NFL, visit KidChefElianna.com for all the links. If you're in New Orleans this week, attend the Taste of the NFL. Come hungry and kick hunger. I'll be there in my pink chef coat and chef hat. If you're there, please say hello. It's halftime. Let's go to a break. I'm Kid Chef Eliana, and you're listening to Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids.
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Tune in every Monday for Purple Songs Can Fly. Our program serves as a musical outlet for children being treated at the Texas Children's Cancer and Hematology Centers. These songs are flown all over the world and even into space. Hundreds of songs have been written and recorded and have been part of shuttle missions, airline in-flight playlists, toured with the Rolling Stones, gone undersea and to the top of Mount Everest. Join our hosts for some great music on Purple Songs Can Fly, Mondays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, on Voice America Kids. Looking for a great sports show from a kid's point of view? Look no further than Speaking of Sports. We've got the stats, scores, and inside news on what's happening all over the sports world. It's all hard-hitting, can't-miss action from your point of view. You'll hear different perspectives, opinions, and predictions from the fans and experts. Tune into Speaking of Sports every Friday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel. Miss just 1 minute of this show and you've missed out.
This is Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids. Be sure to check out Eliana's webpage at KidChefElianna.com or follow her Facebook and Twitter pages by clicking the links on her show page. Now, back to Cool Kids Cook.
Welcome back. I'm Kid Chef Eliana, and it's Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids. Wasn't that a great interview with Mr. Kostrowski of the Taste of the NFL? The event is such a great cause. Help us kick hunger. It's time for a tisket, a tasket, what's inside my basket. Today's secret ingredients are corn and cheese. First, let's talk about corn. Corn is America's number one field crop. An ear of corn averages 800 kernels in 16 rows. Corn is a major part of many food items like soft drinks, cereals, peanut butter, and packaged snack foods. Think corn syrup. Corn is grown on every continent in the world except Antarctica. The corn cob, or the ear, is actually part of the corn plant's flower. Ethanol is a renewable biofuel made from corn. It is blended into more than 80% of the nation's fuel supply. Next time your family goes to the gas station, look for the sign that says, contains ethanol. Now you know what it is. Candy corn is more than 130 years old. The fun, kernel-shaped candy was originally made by hand. Here is my recipe for roasted corn salsa. This salsa is delicious, not only with corn tortilla chips, but on top of an omelet and even on a hamburger. Ingredients: 3 medium tomatoes, diced, 1/2 teaspoon of chopped jalapenos from a jar, 2 tablespoons of onion, finely chopped, 1/2 teaspoon of cumin, 1 tablespoon of cilantro, finely chopped, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, 1 clove of garlic minced, which is 1/2 teaspoon, 1 teaspoon of lime juice, and 2 cobs of corn roasted and kernels removed. Directions. Mix all the ingredients in a bowl for a chunky salsa. If you prefer smooth salsa, blend it in a food processor. Pour it into a big bowl and mix in the freshly roasted corn. Hey, kid foodies, I'd love to hear from you. Tweet me. I'm at @KidChefElianna. Send me your questions and ideas, and we'll connect. I'm also Eliana Cook's fan page on Facebook. On Instagram and Pinterest, I'm @KidChefElianna. So, you know where to find me. Now, let's explore cheese. The root of the English word cheese comes from the Latin casus. It also comes from the root of casein, the milk protein that is the basis of cheese. The best-selling cheese in the United States is cheddar. The United States is the top producer of cheese in the world, with the state of Wisconsin being the largest producer in the U.S. Think Wisconsin cheese. Cheese making predates recorded history. Scholars believe it began as early as 8,000 B.C. to as late as 3,000 B.C. It is believed to have originated in the Middle East or in Central Asia by nomadic Turkish tribes. There is archaeological evidence of cheesemaking in Egypt, found in tomb murals that date back to 2000 B.C. Remains of cheese over 4,000 years old were found in Egyptian tombs. That gives new meaning to stinky cheese. A farm in Bjorholm, Sweden, actually makes moose cheese. This is rare, and it cost $1,000 per kilogram. I'm still mumbo-jumbo today, or 2.2 pounds. Here is a recipe for nacho cheese. This cheese sauce is great for parties. Keep it warm in a fondue pot or a small pot. On game day, my family and I are going to use this sauce on our smoked Creole pulled pork nachos. My gosh, I can't wait. Ingredients: 4 tablespoons of butter, 4 tablespoons of flour, 2 cups of milk, and 1 pound of cheddar cheese. Directions: in a medium saucepan, over medium heat, melt butter. Add the flour and mix well, creating a blonde roux. Add the milk and stir constantly until it thickens. This is a bechamel. Add cheese and stir until melted. Pour over tortilla chips. Optional: add a can of Rotel for a delicious cheese sauce with a kick. You can find all of these recipes on my website, kidchefeliana.com. If you have a secret ingredient you would like me to talk about, you can email me at eliana@kidchefeliana.com. Or call my U.S. toll-free number, 888-721-5915. Leave me a first name, where you're calling from, and your question. Maybe your suggestion will air on a future episode. You're listening to Cool Kids Cook on the Voice America Kids Network. This is Kid Chef Eliana, and it's time for Kitchen Tips and Tools. Today's kitchen tip is Super Bowl Party Tip. Gathering people together for the big game is a blast. Here are some tips to make game day a day of fun, food, and football, so you can score big with your family and friends. If you can't afford a big spread, do a potluck style. Have everyone bring a dish. That way you'll get a big variety and no single person is footing the whole bill. Football food equals finger food. Think wings, dips, and small sandwiches. It's tailgating food that is not super complicated. Serve foods that are safe and taste good at room temperature. If you have hot foods like chili or chowder, place them in a warmer like a crock pot or chafing dish. Decorate. Hang up pennants. Display footballs. Put down a green tablecloth to represent a football field. Give kids something fun to do before and during the game. Teach them how to make paper footballs or make the paper plate helmet head from my cooking craft. Later on in the show, I'll be showing you that. Today's kitchen tool is a pigskin. Okay, technically, it's not a kitchen tool, but hey, it's Super Bowl. So I thought I'd share some interesting facts about that funny-shaped leather ball that is passed, grabbed, cradled, kicked, and punted across the field. The first footballs were made of inflated pig bladders inside leather, which is why it is sometimes referred to as a pigskin. The very first football ever used was round. The American football is in the shape of a prolate spheroid and weighs between 14 and 15 ounces. In 1981, the oldest football still in existence, made circa 1540, was discovered in the roof of Stirling Castle, Scotland. It is now on display in the Smith Art Gallery and Museum in Stirling. I hope you like my kitchen tips and tools. Here is my papa's recipe for smoked Creole pulled pork. My Casey papa has a smoker. He loves grilling and cooking meat and smoking meat. This is his tasty smoked pulled pork recipe. We're going to use this pork on nachos and in barbecue pulled pork sandwiches. My mouth is already watering. Ingredients: 1 9-pound pork shoulder, one bottle of Tony Sachery's Creole Butter Cajun Injector, and one small bottle of Tony Sachery's Creole Seasoning. Directions. Inject the pork shoulder with the Creole Butter Marinade. Rub the dry Creole seasoning on the outside of the pork, making sure the pork is completely coated. Set the smoker to 250 degrees. Put the pork in the smoker for 3 hours. Take the pork out and then wrap it in aluminum foil. Place it in the smoker for another 6 hours to help seal in the juices. Serves many. So for my football part, my Super Bowl party, we're having like kind of a private Super Bowl party. It's just going to be my family and my dad's friend. So it's very small this year. Usually we go over to my Nana's house and we have a bunch of people over. But this time we're hosting it. So it's going to be so fun, and we have our big 50-inch TV, and everybody's going to be sitting on the couch watching, and I can tell they're going to just be screaming and yelling. And we're going to have tons of good food. And I'm so excited to see the big game. And for my party, the Super Bowl party, we're having all of these dishes that I'm giving the recipes for. So we're having the Creole smoked pulled pork nachos and the barbecue pulled pork sandwiches. I'm making jambalaya. Actually, it was my dad's request for jambalaya. I made jambalaya last night, and he said, "You've got to make this for the Super Bowl party. Everyone is going to love it." I said, "Okay, I'll make it just for you, Dad." So I just cannot wait. Well, it's the end of the third quarter, and we have to take a break. I'm Kid Chef Eliana, and you're listening to Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids.
We didn't invent Kid Talk, we perfected it, and at a very young age. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Has your role model let you down? Every day it seems we turn on the news or read online that today's entertainment and sports stars have gotten out of hand again. Drugs, theft, drunk driving, and other actions of disorderly conduct are what some so-called role models are all about. Not here. Tune in to Runway Role Models and find out about some positive people who are making a difference now and paving the way for the future generation, our generation. Tune in to Runway Role Models every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. Have you heard your 15 minutes of fame? How about four times that every single week? It's the Fame Game. Listen as Maddie Rose, who is up and coming in the world of fame, brings you fame from all walks of life. You'll hear from doctors, teachers, mentors, life heroes, as well as those in the fields of acting, movies, music, and more. Who knows? You might be the next one Maddie Rose talks to on the air. Listen for the Fame Game every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids Channel.
The longer you listen, the later it gets. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
This is Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids. Be sure to check out Eliana's webpage at kidchefeliana.com or follow her Facebook and Twitter pages by clicking the links on our show page. Now, back to Cool Kids Cook.
Welcome back to Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids. I'm Kid Chef Aliana, and it's time for Spice Detective. Today, we're investigating honey. Did you know that bees have been producing honey for at least 150 million years? Bees must visit about 2 million flowers and fly over 55,000 miles to make 1 pound of honey. A worker bee makes less than a teaspoon of honey in its entire lifetime. To collect nectar, honeybees visit between 50 to 100 flowers. In the cave of the spider in Valencia, Spain, a cave painting showing a figure robbing honey out of a hive was found. It is believed to be about 15,000 years old. If you store honey in an airtight container, it will never spoil. Over 2,000-year-old honey found in sealed vats in King Tut's tomb was still edible. That's incredible. Europeans brought the European honeybee to America in 1638. Here's a recipe for my sweet and spicy popcorn. Now, you might want to make 2 or 3 batches, because once people taste it, they just cannot stop at eating one piece of popcorn. I used local honey from my favorite farmer's market, and the taste was remarkable. Ingredients: 1/4 cup of popcorn kernels, 2 tablespoons of butter melted, 2 tablespoons of honey heated, and 1 teaspoon of Creole seasoning. Directions: use a paper lunch bag and pop the kernels in the microwave. In a small bowl, mix melted butter, honey, and seasoning. Place popcorn in a large Ziploc bag and drizzle mix into the bag. Shake well until all the popcorn is coated. Yum! It's snacktivity time. Here, I give you fun, easy breezy snack ideas. Today's snacktivity is football-shaped sandwiches. These little sandwiches have a kick. You can kick the Creole mustard and hot sauce if you want a milder flavor. Ingredients: 1 loaf of pumpernickel bread, 1 8-ounce package of cream cheese, 5 ounces of deli ham finely chopped, 1/4 cup of Asiago finely grated, 1 teaspoon of Creole or Dijon mustard, a dash of Worcestershire sauce, dash of hot sauce, 1/2 teaspoon of white pepper, salt to taste, and 1/4 cup of mayonnaise or sour cream for piping. Directions: use a football-shaped cookie cutter, or shape a round one into a football shape. Cut football shapes out of pumpernickel. If you don't have a cookie cutter, you can cut the footballs with kitchen scissors. Just put the 2 pieces of bread together so that they are evenly matched. In a medium bowl, mix all the ingredients until creamy. Spread it on 1 football-shaped slice of bread and top with the other football-shaped slice of bread. Pipe it with mayonnaise or sour cream to create the football lace on top. Serve 6 to 8. Hey, young chef, you're listening to the Voice America Kids Network. This is Kid Chef Eliana, and it's time for Creative Cuisine. Here's my recipe for football 7-layer dip. Ingredients: 1 pound of lean ground beef, 1 16-ounce sour cream divided, 1 jar of cheese dip, 1/2 head of lettuce finely sliced, 2 large tomatoes diced, 1 pound of cheddar cheese grated, 1 package of taco seasoning, 1 large can of refried beans, cooking spray, and 1 large bag of tortilla or corn chips. Directions: brown the ground beef with taco seasoning. Drain the grease. Set it aside to cool. Spray your casserole or football-shaped dish with cooking spray. Layer ingredients in this order, leaving 1/4 cup or of sour cream for piping. The ground beef, cheese dip, lettuce, tomatoes, cheddar cheese, sour cream, and refried beans. If your dish is in the shape of a football, pipe sour cream for white football laces. If your dish is rectangular, draw a football with the sour cream on the top of the refried beans. Serve with tortilla or corn chips. Here is another creative cuisine idea. This is a recipe for oven-baked buffalo chicken wings with a blue cheese dip. Buffalo wings and blue cheese are a traditional combo and are perfect pairings for the big game. I lightened the wings by baking them and reduced the calories in the blue cheese dip by using Greek yogurt and fat-free sour cream. Don't worry, there's still plenty of flavor. Oven-baked buffalo chicken wings. Ingredients: 3/4 a cup of flour, 2 teaspoons of Creole seasoning, 20 chicken wings, 1/2 cup of butter melted, and 1/2 cup of mild to medium hot sauce. Directions: place the flour and Creole seasoning in a zip bag and shake. Place the wings inside the bag and shake to coat with flour. Refrigerate for 1 hour. Take the wings out and line the baking sheet with parchment paper. Bake at 400 degrees for 45 minutes. Blue cheese dip. Ingredients: 1 cup of Greek yogurt, 1 cup of fat-free sour cream, 1/2 pound of blue cheese crumbles, 1 clove of garlic minced, 1 teaspoon of fresh chives chopped, 1 teaspoon of Worcestershire sauce, 1 teaspoon of salt, 1 teaspoon of white pepper, and 2 stalked green onions chopped. Ingredients: in a medium bowl, thoroughly mix all the ingredients. Serve with buffalo wings, fresh celery stalks, and other crudité, raw bite-sized veggies. Hey, young chef, it's time for Cooking Craft. Here is a fun kitchen-related craft. Today's Cooking Craft is how to make a paper plate helmet head. The great thing about this craft is that you can customize each helmet head in the colors of your favorite team. Supplies: 2 paper plates, scissors, markers or crayons, and white school glue. Instructions: Step 1. Cut one of the paper plates in half. This will become the face mask. Step 2. Cut out the grill portion of the mask. Step 3. On the whole paper plate, draw a face in the middle with black stripes under the eyes for the eye black that football players paint on their faces. Step 4. Color the outside edge of the whole plate in your favorite team colors. This will become the top and sides of the helmet. Step 5. Glue the face mask to the bottom of the whole paper plate. It should cover your face's mouth and nose, depending on how you drew your face. The instructions, along with photos, are on my website for this week's episode on KidChefEliana.com. Don't forget to connect with me on Twitter and Facebook. I'm at KidChefEliana on Twitter and at Eliana Cooks fan page on Facebook. Be sure to hit that like button. I like you, and I hope you like me, too. If you're listening to the show on iTunes, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review the show. The more reviews we get, the more young chefs we can reach. So, it was great when the Saints won the Super Bowl. That was just amazing, especially since I live in New Orleans. And my dad actually went to the Super Bowl in Miami, and that was really cool. He took a picture, and he got it, and he made it look like it was on the cover of a newspaper or a magazine. It was really cool, and he has a bunch of Super Bowl posters and everything and Drew Brees stuff, all these different posters and magazines, and he asked us to frame them for Christmas. And so my mom and I framed them ourselves. So instead of having them custom framed by somebody else, we did it all by ourselves. So we bought the frames, and we took the posters, and we put it in there, and we had to make sure it was perfect and that it was all even. And we gave it to my dad for Christmas in a different box, so it looked like he was getting something else. So we left reused boxes in my family, and he's like, "Oh." And then he opens it, and he's like, "Oh, my gosh." So he has a huge poster of Drew Brees holding the Lombardi Trophy, and then he has a couple of magazines that are framed, too. And so it's really cool, and he has it in his office, in his work, in his office. And, you know, the taste of the NFL to help kick hunger across America, that's just a great thing. And, you know, it's just awesome. And, you know, you can even donate. I mean, even if you are not here for the Taste of the NFL, you can go to the Taste of the NFL website, tasteofthenfl.com, and you can go click on your or whatever team's helmet that you are donating to, and it'll donate it to that city. And $1 feeds 8 people. So $10 feeds 80 people, and that's a lot. So the Atlanta Falcons are in first place, and the Saints are in seventh place. So, you know, the Saints, we gotta work harder. We gotta beat the Falcons. Well, that's the game, and I leave you with this quote from Vince Lombardi: individual commitment to a group effort. That is what makes a team work, a company work, a society work, a civilization work. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Kid Chef Eliana, Cool Kids Cook. This show is produced by KidStar on Voice America Kids. Bon appetit and game on.
It's time to turn off the oven and close the refrigerator for this week, but be sure to join Kid Chef Eliana for another edition of Cool Kids Cook next Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel. Have a delicious week and keep cooking.
You're listening to Voice America Kids, now with 33% more active ingredients and no artificial coloring.